young adult, whether we're looking at that young adult from the standpoint of those little pre-launch years up until teens, or the countdown years, as I might call them, the teen years, or the actual launching years into the 20s and beyond. We're looking for a good launch, but we always have to make adjustments, don't we? Just like in those Apollo launches. Sometimes you got to go back and say, wow, that didn't work so well, but what can we learn from it? So we aim for what's good, and yet we deal with and make adjustments as it relates to what isn't so good. And I'm hoping that everyone hearing this message today, wherever you're at related to your launch or the launch of another, whatever is in your mind now as you're thinking of launching, we're considering a great launch. Not to say that they all go that way, but we're considering a great launch because that's what we're always aiming for and adjusting around. So this great launch that we see today, this biblical example, is the launch of Timothy. And I want to just give you a little bit of background of the church at Lystra as we lead up into this great launch. Paul had preached the gospel in Lystra, and some had believed. And a church was then established. All this is there in Acts chapter 14, verses 6 through 23. And actually went through once and preached the gospel, and people believed. Went on to other towns, preached the gospel there, and others believed. And then made his way back in establishing a church and putting elders in place. And this was over the course of some months. Now, after a time at his home church, Paul and Barnabas ended that first missionary journey, spent time at the church of Antioch in Syria, the church that had sent them out. Now about a year, maybe at the most, a year and a half or 2 years later, Paul returns to Lystra, this place where he had preached the gospel, some had embraced the gospel, a church had been established, elders had put in place, and Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. That's today's good launch example we're going to be considering, Timothy and his launching. Now, how old was Timothy right now? So if you want to really get into this, listen for the next few minutes. If you don't really care that much, you say, he was young, okay? But some traditions say Timothy was as young as 16 or 17. Certainly he was at least 15 because he had to go through the Jewish ceremony of sort of growing up. And so at the youngest, probably 15. Some have said 16 or 17. At the very oldest, he was 22 or 23. And how do we know this? Well, if we add up all the aspects of Paul and Timothy's ministry, we know, depending on the chronology we follow, but roughly 14 to 16 years after this moment, Paul wrote to Timothy when Timothy was in Ephesus, and the book of 2 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy, rather 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on you because you are young, youthful. That Greek word cannot be used for someone 40 years and above. So Timothy has to be in his 30s, I think quite likely mid-30s, because he was 38 or 39, he probably wouldn't have said that either. So he's somewhere between 16, 17, and probably 22, 23 tops. Right there in that late teens, early 20s window when Paul comes upon Timothy here in Lystra. So Timothy is in that launch phase, right? And we're going to be talking about what was going on in Timothy before this and during this and even a little bit after this related to this good launch. And let's all remember that good launches are not just seeking responsible adulthood. Good launches are seeking devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's always our aim. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Of course, that applies not just to spiritual children, but physical children. That's what we really long for, pray for, and seek in a launch. Not just that they're doing good, have a job, yada-da-da-da, but that they're following Jesus devotedly. And of course, Timothy was doing just that. So let's consider today these elements of a great launch. And we consider these family who believe, formed by belief, family of believers, the important role of the church community, integrity of life that's made manifest. How did he get that, for goodness sake? Intensive mentors of course, that's really to take that launch to a whole nother level and investing in mission. If you want to test, hey, is this launch going well? Say, hey, where's the investment in mission? Or how good it looks maybe to the world if they're not investing in mission, I would argue it's not really a great launch. We're going to consider these principles here today for all launches, no matter how much they may like, oh man, that doesn't seem like anything like what I'm seeing. These principles emerge for us from this successful launch. We need to be prayerfully proactive in partnering together in pursuit and persevering in these pursuits as it relates to launches as we consider this great launch. Now, how many of you believe that God has great power? How many believe that God can do amazing things? Okay, so when you're looking at this great launch, don't say, oh man, that's never going to happen. Or, hey, I'm seeing a launch not going that way. I'm giving up. No, continue to pray for these great things of God as it relates to the launches. Ask God to do these things and do whatever you can to pursue these things with whatever influence you have related to them for launching into adulthood. Let me just share with you something today, because as I've been talking this week, I hear a lot of folks discouraged about launches. And I just want to remind you of the loaves and the fishes miracle. Remember that one? So, you know, the disciples said, what are a little bit of loaves and fishes here with regard to the multitude of people that need to be fed? And yet Jesus multiplied them because somebody brought them to Jesus. So wherever you're at, whatever you got, whatever you feel like you don't have, whatever you're up against, whatever that launch looks like that you're thinking about, give your little loaves and fishes to Jesus. Bring to him what you have and ask him to work through that as it relates to your launch, training for a launch, the countdown of someone's launch, and even those launches that seem to be like, man, that's not going very well right now. Give to Jesus your little loaves and fishes and watch him work. He'll work mightily, Ephesians 3:20 tells us, above and beyond all that you ask or even imagine. So let's first consider the important element of family. Family who believe. God uses the faith influence of family. And here's something that might encourage you. Anybody got a less than ideal family? Yeah, don't we? And somebody say, oh, my spouse isn't a believer, started way late, I got these problems, yada, da, da, da. Well, here's a less than ideal family, but God used the faith influence of the believers in this family, in this less than ideal family. Paul also came to Derbe, to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. Here, there you go. And 2 Timothy 1:5 tells us more details. We'll look at those in a minute. But his father was a Greek. In other words, not a believer. So we got one believer, the other not on board. And yet, God used Timothy's mother, this Jewish woman who was a believer. She undoubtedly came to faith when Paul was there in Lystra or shortly thereafter. And she had already laid that foundation of faith in believing in God and his revelation to the Jewish people. So the only little detail she needed was Jesus is the Messiah, and she accepted him, the one crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. And she was all in that. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we're told her name. Her name was Eunice. And she also had a support team, a launch support team. Of course, the church community there, but she also had her mother. So Timothy's grandmother, Lois, was also a believer, devout in her faith, came to faith in the Lord Jesus as she heard the gospel. And so these two had laid that foundation in Timothy's life. And God used them in Timothy's life. And God uses the faith influences of less than ideal families. Let's be encouraged by that as we consider Timothy. And let's all do our part, whether we're a parent, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever our role is, grandmother, grandfather, let's be faithful and seek to have that godly faith influence. I think people are sort of struggling for kind of stories and examples related to how can we foster launching? And let me just share with you one thing Lori and I did. It's not being shared in any way that it was like the be-all and end-all, but just a concrete, tangible thing Lori and I did to sort of flesh out, not just bringing our kids to church and Awana and encouraging them to go to youth group, but when our children turned 13, each of them, Lori and I had sort of a little ceremony, a little marker, a rite of passage, if you will. Eric went away with me. Kirsten went away with Lori. Cassie went away with Lori. Then we came together. We talked to them about their faith. We talked about the years ahead. We challenged them as related to their launching in those countdown years. And we particularly challenged them around the issue of sexual purity. And God used that, I believe, in each of their lives. You could ask our kids about that experience. And we were just seeking to live out our faith in a way that we encourage them to grow in their faith and to live that out. And we're going to consider that very principle next in the life of Timothy. Timothy wasn't just going to his parents' church, his mom's church, his grandma's church. He wasn't just going to youth group and doing programs there and saying, okay, I guess whatever I got, a little bit of morality. No, Timothy embraced Jesus for real, and he was formed by that belief. That's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to proclaim for. That's what we need to encourage and pursue and ask God to renew where the passion for Jesus has faded. Gospel belief personally fosters a good launch. That's what we see in Timothy's life. Paul came to Lystra and Derbe there, and a disciple was there. A disciple. That term disciple is used in the book of Acts of true believers in Jesus. True believers in Jesus. Timothy was one. And the foundation had been laid in Timothy's life, 2 Timothy 3:15, how from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the foundation was there, and then the gospel was shared, and he received it and believed. And so as we're looking at those pre-launch years, pray for this. Not that they just parrot the words, but that they really come to know Jesus. As they're in those countdown years, the ministry stakes are high, and they're making their life decisions their own. I encourage this, pray for this, a ministry around this. And then as they're launching, there's no better thing for a great launch than a genuine personal faith in Jesus Christ, having received the gospel. So this is what we seek, and this is what was sparked in Timothy's life, and what a blessing when that formed by belief aspect is in place. Let me just speak to you personally right now, can I? If you're here today and you've never personally responded to Jesus, you're hearing my voice, whether live stream or somehow recording, and you have put off this issue, there is no more important thing in your life than this personal response of faith in Jesus Christ. Please take that step. Seek out someone who can help you and encourage you in taking that step. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. And this is the most important thing that will determine the trajectory of your life. I believe that with all my heart. So take that step today and seek to grow in that if you have. And I want to speak to those of us who are here, the parents, grandparents, TCC partners, TCC family, guests who believe in Jesus. We don't have TCC kids and VBS and Inside Out so that we can keep our kids busy with some program. We do these so they meet Jesus. And I want to encourage you to think about maybe your role investing in one or more of these ministries precisely for that reason. That we invest in the lives of these young ones so that they meet Jesus. And we partner with parents in this as they seek for their children to come to know Jesus by faith. You know, the whole coaching that parents provide and that we as a church community share in partner with them, partnership with them, isn't just about education and life lessons. So many people miss this. Soccer and dance becomes a bigger priority than the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God help us. The core of good launches is a vibrant personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And as they're launching, seek to pursue, pray for, reinforce that. And if you're a young adult here hearing this message, this is the key, and I encourage you to embrace Jesus personally as well. Discipleship is not just a decision, though, is it? Discipleship is a process. Discipleship isn't through programs. Discipleship is through relationship and time with God. So this whole thing is about being obedient, not just saying something, but growing in something. And that's what Timothy displayed. He was formed by faith. Let's consider next, though, the vital role and the elements of a great launch is the family of believers. Real church connections give strong launch support. I feel like we should say that. Real church connections give strong launch support. Can you tie it again? Real church connections give strong launch support. And here again, many people have thought, the church is just a place where we go and get some programs. That's not what we see with Timothy. It's not that he attended church. It's that he was a part of the church. And as we're seeking in those pre-launch years and the countdown years and even the young adult launch years, we got to figure out how we do this. We got to do it better. And we can't just say, they'll be okay because they go to youth group. No, they need real church connections. That's not church, that's youth group. They need relationships with a variety of adults, and they need adult community investing in and them investing in relationships. How was it that the church there in Lystra and the church down the road in Iconium, which is interesting, could know Timothy well enough to speak well of him? Who do you know well enough to speak well of? You've spent time with them. Timothy spent a whole lot of time in church ministry, and those church folk, both men and women, spent a whole lot of time with Timothy. That's the only way. It wasn't a ruse that they were speaking well of him. He invested in them, they invested in him. He was invested in ministry, they were invested in his development. That's what a church looks like. Not just sort of saying, whatever, there's those kids over there. No. He was spoken well of because both brothers and sisters, that's the force of the Greek word, knew him and he knew them. We have to foster that kind of community. And we have to not only invest in children and spend time connecting with youth, but even coming alongside young adults. They need to know we care. We need to invest in them. We want them to be connected in the ministry. And so much it is wrong as it relates to all this sort of crazy segmentization and people just sort of staying away from anybody that's not their generation. The church community here is a vibrant intergenerational community, isn't it? It has to be. So the real church connections, if you're young, embrace church. And if you're older, embrace the young. That's what a healthy church looks like. That's what fosters one of the elements of the great launch of Timothy. Let's talk then about integrity. Integrity is manifest. This is remarkable. We've already noted verse 16. But as a young man, and if I had to guess, I'd say probably 19, Timothy already displayed a noticeable godly character. As a young man, a noticeable godly character. This, of course, flows from something internal. You can't put that on like just a Sunday morning smile. It's something real and genuine. Those who knew Timothy knew him well enough to notice the consistent good character of this young man. He was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters there at Lystra and Iconium, the church down their way. This is a result of God's internal work over time. This is a result of embracing the truth of God, the genuine pursuit of God. And so there were things like a hunger for God and a heart for God's work and honesty and humility that when people looked at him, they said, yeah, he's got that kind of stuff. He's got that kind of stuff. We live in times that push against all that good stuff, don't they? We live in times that is viewed with disdain and mockery, those very things I mentioned. And yet we do live in this time, and it's not by accident. It's not by accident. We are the folks here on planet Earth in this generation because God is sovereign and he's put us here. He's put us here. If you're an adult, don't say, oh, I'm giving up. No, God has put us here. If you're a young person growing up in these difficult times, recognize God has put you here. Bob Pardon in his update, just received it last week, said it's not by accident any of us is alive in a time like this. It is a divine appointment. As our culture becomes more destabilized and chaotic, the need for truly committed believers is even more apparent. Isn't that true? The need for people that reflect this godly character is even more apparent. He said, we are called to be salt and light, not just sort of like, you know, fit in and fly below the radar. We're called to be salt and light. And being requires more than just saying the right things. Being a man or woman of God, he says, I would contend, is far more difficult and important in our day than just speaking the truth. It requires living the truth. Timothy spent time living it, embracing it. Time with God, time in his word, time confessing, time learning, an attitude of humility. And whether you're older, middle-aged, younger, if you're hearing this message, we have to be those who live the truth to reflect integrity in a way that people look at us and say, yeah, that's real. That's not put on. So this is hugely challenging to all of us. It sets a bar for our young folks that we pray for and we call upon them to pursue, not seeking to fit in, but to be salt and light. That's integrity. And next, an element of great launching. Of course, Timothy was well along the way. He had a family who believed. He was formed by his own believing, a genuine personal faith in Christ. He was connected to the family of believers, and that launched his growth. He was developing this integrity in his own life, by his own walk, in connection with other believers, and embracing the Word of God. And yet, God now moves him to another level with intensive mentors. And of course, Paul notably is such a mentor. And yet it speaks of how if you want to grow, if you're serious, I want to go to another level. Well, you know, whether you're a teen or a young adult or further along in years even, God will oftentimes use a mentoring relationship with someone further along than you. And Timothy didn't blow this off. He embraced it. Paul saw his potential, and he pursued him. God brought these two together. And I would argue that having an older mentor as further along in our faith is going to help many younger folks to grow. And one of the responsibilities, if you're further along in your faith, is not say, oh, let's go another Bible study and learn some more stuff. No, it's that you get in the trenches with somebody who's younger than you, share life with them, invest in them, and help them to grow. So let's be looking generationally. How can those who are further along invest in those who are younger, and those who are younger receive from those who are further along? And of course, the Paul-Timothy match took Timothy to a whole nother level. and over the next years he was in a mentoring relationship with Paul. And let's just look at some of the dynamics of that. Acts chapter 16, verse 3. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And of course, it was more than just going along on the trip. It was mission training. It was mission mentoring. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered the message from the council in Jerusalem. We'll look at that in a few minutes. But that was Paul, that was Silas, and that was young Timothy, now on the mission team being mentored. And I want us to just think about wherever we're at, who's the people that are maybe helping to mentor us, and who are the people that we're helping to mentor. And if we've got a lot of this going on, whether it's formal or informal, or it's happening in small groups, in youth group, in children's ministry, or not, I hope that you're not just thinking, hey, I just need to go and hear a good sermon. No, you need relationships of mentoring, iron sharpening iron. We all do, and the community of believers do, and especially those that are younger do, if they want to be an example of a great launch. So then let's look at investing in mission. This is a final element here. Timothy joins the team for gospel spreading, investing in the mission. And we're going to see this in the text. He joins the mission team. In order to do so, he had to sacrifice. And this sacrifice speaks of his willingness to prioritize the advance of the gospel. Whether you're young or older, this is a mark of a great launch. This is a mark of a mature believer. Willingness to sacrifice to see the gospel advance. So let's walk through this, investing in mission. It's a final element of a great launch, but boy, it is an exclamation mark of a great launch, because that characterizes for sure a really good launch. As they went on their way through the cities, this is after they left Lystra, they delivered to them, that is those different towns they went to and the believers who were there, for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. What's this about? These are the decisions of a so-called Jerusalem Council. You can see there in Acts chapter 15. Now, what happened at the Jerusalem Council? The Jerusalem Council reaffirmed the gospel. This was a big thing, because the hardline Judaizers were saying that you had to be circumcised to be saved. So as Gentiles are now being included in the church, Gentiles are receiving the gospel, some of the hardliners are saying, no, they can't really be saved until they become fully Jewish and are circumcised. They receive, the men, this ceremonial Jewish rite, which typically was done for a little Jewish boy just after birth. And this was a sign of the Jewish people. But the Jerusalem Council affirmed, this is from the apostles and elders in Jerusalem and other churches such as Antioch and Syria, the leaders that came, that you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. You are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. Works are not needed, and certainly circumcision is not necessary. You will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. So this council had reaffirmed that. The message was being given from church to church. No, Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. They're saved just by grace through faith in Jesus. They don't have to become Jewish first to be saved. This gospel mission then was what they were proclaiming. Timothy was a part of it. It's a great thing. And then, yet, chapter 16, verse 3, why then was Timothy circumcised? This would have been a painful thing as a young adult man. Why? Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him. And Timothy didn't say, no way, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this gospel mission thing. Timothy went along with it. Why? Why did Paul want it? Why did Timothy go along with it? Because Paul and Timothy wanted to see the gospel advance. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23 speaks of this. I do everything for the sake of the gospel. It's all about the gospel. I give up my rights for the sake of the gospel. I'm willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. If you're willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, you're well along the way for a great launch. You're willing to give up being cool, and I could never be cool, so I know it's not for me to give it up, but you are willing to give it up. You're willing to give up to go on a mission trip. You're willing to give up to serve in ministry. You're willing to give up to make small group a priority. You're willing to give up to be on Sunday morning and say, I don't really necessarily need to do those other things I want to do. You're willing to give up to give to God's work. You're willing to give up to serve in kids' ministry. You're willing to give up saying, hey, retirement is not for me and my convenience and enjoyment. Retirement is just another season of mission and ministry. Thank you very much. You're willing to give up whatever it is you're going to give up. And for too long, we've pampered not only kids but adults. For too long, we fostered a notion of the Christian life that is a pampered notion that doesn't have room for sacrifice. Then we wonder why nobody wants in, because we haven't been selling the real thing. We haven't been proclaiming the real thing. The real thing, in adult fashion, embraces mission and our part in it and willingly sacrifices to advance the gospel. And Paul was about that. Timothy embraced that. Because he was not just a responsible young adult man or entering that. He was a sold-out follower of Jesus. And wonderfully, fruit resulted. Again, I'm just talking about a picture of a great launch. I'm just saying, this is what a great launch looks like. Let's make the adjustments prayerfully in pursuit of this. Fruit resulted. From this. Gospel fruit resulted from this. The churches were strengthened the faith and they increased in numbers daily. That means somebody got saved every day. Somebody's getting saved every day as the ministry was going forward because of this kind of focus on gospel spreading and the willingness to sacrifice for it. And Timothy was one part of that whole mentality. What a young man, what a great launch. So we've talked about launching into adulthood. And I just want to encourage us to, however this strikes, wherever it lands with you, just to think about, okay, there's a great launch. God, help us, help me to make the adjustments to pursue that. Even if you feel like sort of like you missed the opportunity, I think that notion is somewhat overblown. Think if you're living wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ today, even if your adult has launched, you're putting yourself in the best position to influence them for the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're younger, make the most of those opportunities today. If you're hearing this, stay on track in a Timothy-like track and embrace those things that will help you to grow. And for all of us as a church community, let's really look at how do we continue to invest in our children and in our youth in partnership with our parents. And if you're a parent, take stock of those opportunities you have to help shape your young one or your youth in the countdown years or your young adult that's now launching in pursuit of great launches. Let's each pursue these: family, faith influence, personal faith, the community of believers, integrity, that's a personal thing, and pursuit of the Lord, intensive mentors, and investing in mission. Let's pursue these in our launch, in our child's launch, in TCC launches. And let's pray for God's transforming power to impact all lives and all launching stages. And I want to encourage us as we wrap up, something had to have landed for you, like, okay, that one's for me. What is it? Can we just take a moment, each of us, to think and meditate on one launch step? One step for us related to launching, helping others launch. What is that step? And after you identify it, let's pray about it. Let's take a minute in response. What's one step
connected to you
as we look at this great launch. Let's pray. Take time to respond and then prayerfully give it to the Lord. Lord God, we look at this record of the scriptures and we see this young man, Timothy, and we just thank you for your work in his life, those that you use in that process, the church community, his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord, that he embraced the message of the gospel and personally pursued you. Thank you, God, for how he continued to grow. And that character was displayed as a result of that. Thank you, God, for his willingness to embrace Paul as a mentor and Paul's investment in him. Thank you, God, for the way that you used him in mission and his willingness to sacrifice for the cause of the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would build these very things into the fabric of our families and those that are launching, whether they be in the pre-launch years, the countdown years, or the actual years of liftoff. God, we pray that whatever adjustments need to be made as we pursue these, Lord, we pray for your mighty working. We thank you for your power to do even beyond what we'd ask or even think. So God, we're not giving up. We're looking to you and asking for great things, for your name to be glorified, and good launches, Lord, to glorify you. Lord, in the midst of this broken world, we just pray that you would raise up from TCC and other gospel church communities, from our families and other families, Lord, young men and young women who are fully devoted to you. Use our ministry, use our families, use our lives, use our partnership, Lord. Help us not to think this is just sort of going to happen easily, God, but that we would be willing to invest in our part in it and be proactive and persevering in pursuit of more and more great launches. And Lord, where there's struggle, we just pray for your grace. Where there's failure, we thank you for your forgiveness. Where there's seemingly not a way, we thank you can make a way. Where we think we don't have much, just a few loaves and fishes, God, we give it to you, and we thank you and praise you. We pray in Jesus' name.